well, well, good morning, good morning, good morning to you. Yes, 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 yes. I'm back. It's been a minute. Thank you. If you did not know, today is my birthday. And fun fact, Morning Tea and Allegations season one actually started on my birthday. So the reason why we're here today to reconvene, to talk about what's happening, and we actually have an agenda today. So I'm not going to be here before you long. My wife cooked me breakfast and I'm ready to eat. But I have to do what I obligated myself to do, and that is provide y'all updates and the news. So for those of you that are watching, if you could please share this broadcast with other people that might not be familiar with me or what I do, the advocacy work that's happening with Teaching for the Culture and beyond. So just thank you. Thank you. Thank you again. Now, just thank y'all for the love. Thank y'all for the blessings. And I just wanted to just give y'all a personal health update, because I did put my information on social media so that people can be intentional with not only being preventative with your health, but maintaining your health. And that's one of the things that I personally lacked and I had to take personal accountability for. I'm currently dealing with a severe regurgitation in one of my heart valves. And I'm very thankful to the staff at TGH for making sure that I am on task, that I am working and doing, achieving my goals. There is a great blessing to the fact that they will be able to repair the heart valve. I have surgery that will be slated in a couple of months. So please continue to keep me in prayer. But let's go ahead and look at the agenda today. Okay, amen. So for the agenda for Morning Tea and Allegations this morning, we're going to be talking about expiring COVID tests. We're going to be talking about some superintendent transitions that have occurred. We're also going to be talking about this upcoming 2022 legislative session. You need to keep your eyes on the folks that are elected to serve you, okay? Abuse that's happening in our schools and social media versus reality, okay? All right, so let's go ahead and get started. So I want to go ahead and run back my previous disclaimer that I'm going to re-record in a different way. And although this is a new year, new rules, I want to play my disclaimer because I mean that. I truly mean that. With Morning Tea and Allegations, I have been targeted just because I'm very vocal. I speak up and I'm going to provide the receipts. I'm not out here lying on folks. I'm out here providing the receipts. So don't get mad at me. Get mad at the receipts. And I know that by me putting myself out here again, that there's more attacks that will be coming. And so I just want to just make sure that the record is clear that I am not Michelle Obama. And so if you do come for me, I will clap back and sage later. So check out the disclaimer. Thank you, church members, as we have additional announcements and disclaimers that require your full attention. I report the news, so don't try me with the copyright. In addition, the views and opinions on Morning Tea and Allegations belong to me. If you have any questions, bring your receipts so that we can talk. If you get froggy with me, don't expect me to go high and be the bigger person. I will clap back and sage later. God is still working on me. Thank you for your attention and govern yourselves accordingly. Amen. 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 And please govern yourself with those announcements. So there were 800,000 to a million COVID tests that expired. Okay. They expired in the warehouse. And Florida Commissioner Nikki Fried actually brought this to Floridians' attention. And she was gaslit. She was advised to stay in her lane. And you know that the Florida Department of Health, their actual press secretary, went to social media and actually told Nikki that she needs to turn that blinker on and get back in her lane. Mm-hmm. This is what's happening with the leadership in the state of Florida. And so, you know, I often ask, why do we have this type of leadership? Who is going to be held accountable? And what are you going to do about it? So I'm here to just advocate for voter engagement. I'm here to advocate for people to be intentional down the ballot. I'm here for you to be intentional with these systems that are designed to work for the people, that unfortunately has been designed to work for corporate and people with a lot of money, power, and influence. So after this COVID fiasco and the COVID test was exposed, oh yeah, there was a lot of questions that were taking place, because I don't know if you have seen, but Omicron, other known as Omarion, is running rampant. People have been fighting for COVID tests. There has been a limited supply of COVID tests. And when intentionally asked, here's what Ron DeSantis had to say.
About a week ago, Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried put out an official statement accusing you of stockpiling COVID tests that were expiring soon. Is there any truth to that? Can you speak to that?
Kevin can talk about what they have at DEM.
We had between 800,000 and a million test kits, Abbott rapid test kits, in our warehouse that did expire.
So my issue here is, number one, when Ron DeSantis was intentionally asked, he had someone else break the news instead of him just saying, yeah, that was our bad. We did not distribute these COVID tests in the way that we should have. Now we have to discard all these COVID tests. But, you know, this is why Morning Tea and Allegations is here, because I have to tell you that there's actually some more stuff that's happening with these COVID tests that I think y'all need to know. So we're going to ask if Addison Davis could come to the front of the congregation, because we have been told that there's actually been some COVID tests that have actually expired on Hillsborough County School District's property. Mm-hmm. Addison, we've been told that there have been COVID tests that have been provided to the district that had to be discarded due to no intentional plan to ensure that they are distributed. We have a couple of questions on that, and so I want to place it on the record. I will also be requesting receipts, because we just have some questions. The first question is, how many tests expired? The next question is, which school sites actually did receive these COVID tests? The next question is, how does Hillsborough County Schools plan to rectify this? The next question, are there any other Tampa Bay school districts that allowed this to happen? I'm not sure the answer to those questions, but I will definitely be providing you an update, because I'm requesting the receipts and public records. Next on the agenda, we're going to talk about the superintendent transitions. So I just want to make sure that you are aware that these Florida districts are in trouble. The reason why is the top two districts in the state are actually looking for new superintendents. The Miami-Dade County Public Schools, their superintendent, Alberto, has accepted a job in LA. He is quoted in saying, I'm accepting the position of general superintendent in LA for very personal and professional reasons. I think it's fair to say internal and external conditions have shifted significantly over the past years. I'm gonna break down what this superintendent is saying without actually saying it. He said, y'all got me messed up. You got me messed up for trying to protect our children during a global pandemic, and you decided to bully, retaliate, and use political influence to make decisions for our local school board members and our local superintendents. He is tired, he is frustrated, and he is fed up, and he's gone. He's gone. And so his last day is February the 3rd. So on the website, they are actually searching for a new superintendent. And so they have some meetings coming up to talk about that. The next school district is Broward. Broward County has a new interim superintendent, Dr. Vicki Cartwright. And she was just hired just to be a placeholder, but they actually are doing a national search, and you will not believe who they have hired for their national search already. Let me go ahead and get my sound effects queued up here. Let's see. I want to do the drum roll for this one. While I'm loading that up, I want y'all to put in the comments, who do you think this district hired to conduct this national search? Mm-hmm. is Ray and Associates. So on their website, they stopped accepting applications on January the 3rd. The next step in Broward's situation is that, 24th, January 24th, they have a school board meeting to discuss the superintendent search. There has been so many questions about this. And, you know, it's interesting how two of the top school districts in the state of Florida by size are looking for new leadership. And, you know, that has a lot to do with the political influence and what is happening in our state. So those are just the two largest. Now, of course, there are smaller districts that are dealing with some things, but right here at home, Pinellas County Schools, Dr. Greco has announced that he will be retiring at the end of the school year, and his last day is July 1st. He actually posted a community message, and I actually want to share it with you because we need to talk about it. So let me go ahead and share this with you.
As your superintendent, I want to directly share with the community of Pinellas County Schools my plan to retire at the end of the school year. I have proudly served Florida's public education system for 42 years, and I'm so thankful to have spent the last 10 right here in Pinellas County. Over the last decade, we have tackled the challenges of the district head-on, bringing needed stability and a renewed focus on student achievement. Thank you to everyone for playing a part in the success of our students and making Pinellas County Schools a model school district for the state and nation. We have shared so many successes, far too numerous to mention them all. But here are a few highlights that I want to thank you for. The district's overall graduation rate increased to 92% for the class of 2021, up from slightly under 70% when we began this work together. The graduation rate for our Black students has risen 30 percentage points, going from 56.4 to 86.3%. And over the last 10 years, we have completely eliminated the graduation gap for our Hispanic students with a graduation rate of 92%. We increased the percentage of A, B, and C rated schools while eliminating all F rated schools. We've expanded our early literacy programs with Reading Recovery, new centers for literacy innovation, and the expansion of VPK sections to 150 sections. And we've exponentially increased access to gifted studies as well as advanced and honors courses at all middle and high schools, giving every student the opportunity to be challenged and reach their full potential. In partnership with the best education foundation in the country, we focused great attention on college and career readiness and expanded career academies and certifications. We have newly constructed and renovated campuses across our district, creating world-class learning environments for students and staff, and eliminated over 500 portables. And our district finances are stable and secure. We have a healthy fund balance, and I am so proud that we were able to increase all employees' pay, including benefits, by over 40%, greater than any other district in the state. Our strategic plan has centered our work around our core mission, and it has guided so many of our outstanding accomplishments. While the work of education is never done, I am so proud of all the accomplishments our students, our staff, our families have achieved over the past 10 years. The school board will finalize a process to select a new superintendent, and I am confident it will be smooth and thorough. I know as a community, we will remain focused on our students and their success. This was not an easy decision for me, but as in all great relay races, it is time for me to pass the baton. And while I will enjoy spending more time with my family, I will sincerely miss my Pinellas County Schools family. Thank you for your support and partnership. Pinellas is a wonderful community. I am humbled and honored to have served as your superintendent for the past 10 years, and I wish you much success and happiness. So let's have a great second semester and end this school year stronger than ever. Thank you.
My bad, y'all. I was doing all that talking and y'all couldn't hear me. And so let me do a little disclaimer here because that was bad. That was really bad. That was really bad. I haven't did a production like this in so long. I've gotten a little rusty. I'm sorry. So sorry. There we go. So what I was saying was Dr. Greco, he's like, I'm out. I'm tired of y'all. I'm tired of y'all coming to these school board meetings, acting up. I'm tired of y'all not participating in our schools and helping us with achievement. I've served my 42 years and I'm out. I'm deuces. So we're seeing this trend across the state and across the nation of superintendents that are leaving and a lot of transitions in our public school system. And this is why I want to tell y'all that y'all need to be intentional. You need to be intentional with our public school system. You have to be intentional with the money that is flowing through the system, who's benefiting from these systems and who is not benefiting from these systems. You truly do. And this is what brings me to my next topic, the 2022 legislative session. So I talk about this because session actually starts on the 11th. Okay, so your state representatives will be heading to Tallahassee without the same COVID restrictions. So COVID and Omarion will be dancing all up through that Capitol. You hear me? Because last year, you know, no one was wearing masks. They believed that COVID was a hoax. And so now we have this new variant that's out here. And I can only imagine the damage that's going to happen during this 2022 session. But it's important that you are intentional. There are some education bills that we will be bringing to your attention. There's also some bills that are placed there for unknown reasons. The intent is not there, but because we can, because that is exactly what Representative Fine has stated, because they can. And they intentionally will put bills in place. They will make legislation, but it doesn't help all Floridians. It does not help the bulk of Floridians. It is just for their political agenda, their ideology. And right now, Florida is suffering. We've had the most people arrested for the Capitol insurrection. We've had the most people in the state of Florida harmed due to the lack of education. And so if you think that education is expensive, think about how ignorance is expensive. Okay. So please, I'm telling you guys, please be careful, wear a mask, be safe, be cautious, because it is truly sad what's happening around here. You need to know your state legislators. Know the people down the ballot, who you're voting for, who represents you, what their job duties are. Check out the Florida Channel. See what they're talking about. And if you don't have the time or space for all that, well, please get connected with people that are doing the work, because it is very vital that you are intentional with that. And there are new variants that are coming out there. And I'm seeing memes of the Flo Rida song because of, you know, this Flu Rona, and just, it's a lot of stuff out here. Folks, please be safe. There's a question on the floor. The question says the bill wants to allow the recording of teachers during the school day. How do we feel about that? Well, I'm going to tell you that some of the teachers say, bring it on. Bring it on, record in the classroom. And one of the reasons why this bill was introduced is this whole foolishness of CRT. This is going to take me off course, off topic, and I need to get to my food. So I'm going to keep this short. But my personal feeling is that if people been recording in the classroom, it's all on social media. Teachers have been recorded without their knowledge or consent. Students have been recorded without their knowledge or consent and posted on social media platforms. So this practice is nothing new. I just want to make sure that we have fidelity in the process. But if we're going to make sure that we're recording teachers and recording students and all that good stuff, we just need to make sure that we have procedures and policies across the board, because there was a child that was recording a fight in Manatee County and was arrested because they wanted to delete the video off her phone. Yeah. So, that's where I'm at. And of course, we'll have longer conversations about each one of the bills and have panels and discussions and bringing on legislators to talk about that in Mornington allegations. So surprise, so that folks can be intentional. OK, now let's move on to the next topic. So abuse that's happening in our schools. Y'all, I'm absolutely tired. I am tired of being contacted when people have nowhere to turn because the school districts do not have procedures and policies in place. At least that's what it appears to be, on handling abuse. I want to play this clip, and I just want to just sit with this clip in this moment. Let me just play the clip.
Hello, my name is Rufus Del Valle. I'm the student on the front page of the Tampa Bay Times this Sunday. With the story that documented years of sexual abuse, rape, and retaliation from this school district. And I came here today on a broken leg to tell you all how much pain you have put the students in your care through. The school district silenced me for 2 years after I made my report in 2019. And Ms. Barnes, the reporter at the Tampa Bay Times, was the first one to get my story out. So today I am not going to be silent anymore. Today I speak for the over 50 people who have contacted me in just 2 days with their own stories who will never be told. I speak for the 22 people who spoke with Ms. Barnes for the Tampa Bay Times report. I speak for my father, who is just now learning the pain that all these students have gone through. And I speak for the future children who will go to school in Hillsborough County and pray that they will never have to go through our pain. And finally today, I will speak for myself. I will give you all the benefit of the doubt that you already read the newspaper. So I'm here to tell you a story that wasn't in it. My first year of high school, when I was 14 or 15, a senior named Austin took a liking to me. He was my cool older friend until one day I found out he was contacting my little brother in middle school in a flirtatious way, an 18-year-old contacting a 13-year-old. I flew into a rage. I deleted every trace of Austin on my brother's phone, blocked him on every account, and outed him as someone who was flirting with kids at my high school. It cost me a lot. All of Austin's friends said I was being dramatic, that it was a joke, that my brother would be fine, but make no mistake, I saved my brother, but you all did not save me. You did not save anybody at this school. If you read the report, you will see so many people you let down. I have lived with this shame for so long, and today I wash myself of it. I give it to the people responsible. I give it to you all for failing all the children in Hillsborough County. I wash myself of this shame, and mark my words, if you ignore me today, you are just as much cowards as you have been for the past 2 years. Thank you.
This advocacy work, was created due to a trauma experience. To see that student walk up there with a broken foot, to experience the trauma that he's had to experience, to have a school district that have all of these departments that are designed to help kids be safe, to help children be in safe, learning, thriving school environments. And this is the constant headlines, the constant narratives that we have. And it's particularly this district. And my heart breaks for the students that had to deal with so many traumatic experiences at their school and not having people in their corner to support them. And the adults that are tasked with protecting our children, that are hired by the school district to protect our children, are more concerned about covering up their friends than the actual students that will have to live with that trauma for years to come. The students at Blake did not appreciate the gaslighting that Addison Davis did on the dais when he responded to this. And they have scheduled a protest at the next school board meeting. And so I will keep you up to date with the information that I receive in regards to that. But if you could just stand in support for the students, it is greatly appreciated. This is not the only school that is dealing with these type of abusive practices that clearly no one's being held accountable for. And we have departments such as the Office of Professional Standards in Hillsborough County School District that needs to be investigated. They do. I just want to briefly talk about the Davis Elementary situation because there has been a couple of headlines that are now just talking about this, but I just want to be very clear that the incident was brought to my attention in May and the educators were not arrested in charge until December. Now, I've asked the district in regards to Patrick, who is on administrative leave, if it's a paid leave or if it's an unpaid administrative leave. And I've yet to receive my answers from communications in Hillsborough County School District. We need to know if he's getting paid. We do. We have so many issues that are taking place in our classroom. And I need parents. I need community members. I need the folks that say that they care to stand up and show out. Please, because our children need us. They do. And my last topic to close y'all out for today is social media and what is reality and what is not. Our children are having a hard time identifying what's true and not true on the internet, just like some of you adults are. I am absolutely tired of seeing misinformation all over the internet when there could be simple Google searches to validate receipts. Some of you will post an article, but haven't even intentionally read the article. Our children are reading things, they are seeing things, and I am telling you, some of these apps that your children have downloaded are dangerous. You have parents that want to go after TikTok because their children are being harmed, but their children that are on the app, that should not be. You know that these apps have terms of service. Do y'all look at the terms of service? Your children that are 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, they should not be on TikTok at all. At all. But some of you parents, Give your child a tablet, a device, and allow them to do whatever, to see whatever, to talk to whoever. Children are going missing. We are seeing a surge of gun violence. We are seeing a surge of gang-related activity, not just with our adults, but our children. Our children are coming to school with tasers. Our children are coming to school with guns. Our children are coming to school with drugs. And for those parents that allow your child to walk out the house and you have no idea what they're bringing to and from school, you are responsible and liable for that. You need to have conversations with your children on what's right and what's wrong. I'm going to close you out with this. Morning Tea and Allegations is back. Season 3, new year, new terms. And I can't wait to see how this journey will continue to evolve. But I'm telling you, if you are an elected official, if you are a person with power and influence, we will be looking. We will be watching. And we will be reporting because it is important for folks to be intentional with what's happening in our community, what's happening around us. And I am tired of seeing headlines of our young children have access to guns and killing each other due to social media beef. You looked at my girl the wrong way. You like my girl picture. And these children are fighting and harming each other. And some of you adults, I can't do anything about that. But what I can do is use my voice to advocate for children. And so for those of you that have tuned in and watched, thank you. I'm so excited for what this journey will become. I'm so excited to hold folks accountable and to bring a new type of medium platform out here where people can actually see the receipts. We can fact check folks and hold folks accountable. But while we're holding folks accountable, that means you have to also hold yourself accountable. That means I also have to hold myself accountable. That is required. And that is required for all of us to operate in the three principles. I always talk about it and I'm going to say it again. That is accountability, transparency, and integrity. That's it. The world can be such a better place if we all honor these three principles in each of our own walks. Our children are on the line, and I'm just so devastated of all the trauma and the harm that's happening in our education system. But while this public education system is breaking, we have to save our children. So this is a call to action to everyone that says that they are passionate about children. It's time to tap in. And it's time to actually do the work and not just show up to schools and take photos and act as if that we're doing something. This is not just you cutting a check and saying, here you go, I'm doing something. It's finding your lane. So the question that I was asked was, we recognize the problems. What is the solution? I'm here to give you that today. The solution is that whatever religion, whatever belief system you have, God has you here on a purpose. And that purpose is here to do X, Y, and Z. I'm not here to hear the conversations between you and God and whoever you believe in, but I rest assured, know that you're here with a passion and a purpose. And however your passion and purpose can help our children, use your gifts to do that. Because our children are killing themselves out here. Our children are listening to music that is causing them to kill themselves out here. And we have adults that are right along acting just like our children. And we have to do better. We have to show up better. So in the year 22, it's your year and it's our children's year and we have to do better. So I hope that you enjoyed today's broadcast. I love you so much. Thank y'all for the birthday shout outs. I'll put my Cash App if you want to send me some birthday love and blessings. But yeah, with that being said, I hope that y'all have a great morning. I will see y'all in 2 weeks for the next installment of Morning Teen Allegations. If you are a Patreon member, there's a couple of videos that you'll get access to, and we have a Patreon hangout. I also just want to uplift and continue to say that I do have social media courses and more that's on the way. So for those parents that want to be intentional to learn more about how the social media platforms work and what to look out for, please check out Check the Cell Phone. I have a podcast that's coming out that's titled Check the Damn Cell Phone, and we're actually talking with mental health experts, we're talking about tech enthusiasts, and we're really having conversations about these cell phones and what you can do as parents to protect your children. Now is the time, because children are going missing and children are being killed, and we need to hold these tech companies accountable, and you need to recognize your own behaviors on your phone before you have conversations with your children, period. So have a great morning. I love y'all, and y'all be blessed.
Please keep my name about your mouth. And mind your business. Mind your business. Mind your business. Mind your business. Sing quiet. Please keep my name about your mouth.
Bye.